Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today. If you will do me a favor and turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 today is where we're going to be at. Luke chapter 6. While you're turning there, I want to mention a couple of things to you. First, I want to make sure that you know we've got a special treat for you today. We've got something for you to take home today. Now, I know it may be small to you, but how many of you remember summers when you were a kid? You enjoyed that kind of stuff. I mean, were you running around? I remember when I was little, one of my favorite memories of summer was going down to Warrior River. Anybody know where Warrior River is? Going down to Warrior River, if you don't know where that is, it was probably about a 30 or 40 minute drive from my house. My dad and I would drive down to the Warrior River where my papa had a cabin. A cabin is in the very loosest sense of the term. It was basically four walls with a refrigerator in it. Okay, it was like a little river cabin, a little fish camp kind of thing. And my dad and I, we would drive down there and we would fish. That's where I get my love of fishing. It's because my dad would take me. I would go with my papa when I was able to. And we would get down there and we would fish off that dock and we would fish. I'm talking about we would start early in the afternoon and we would fish all night long. Barges coming by and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things that we always did was we would stop and get some sodas and some cookies or some Vienna sausages, that kind of thing. Just the kind of stuff that you really shouldn't be eating. You don't even know what it is, that kind of thing. We would stop and get that kind of stuff. So whenever but the thing is, I would always get a Grapico. Anybody remember what Grapico is? Man, Grapico was the bomb. But I would get some kind of flavored, if I couldn't get Grapico, I would get Sunkist. If I couldn't get Sunkist, I'd get some kind of flavored drink. I was a kid, and I didn't know what it was all about. I just wanted something cool. So I got me a drink. Well, we've got a little treat for you today, just as a little throwback. We've got a little treat as you leave today. We have some glass bottle crushed drinks, some orange drinks, and some Lorna Doone cookies. I did not buy you Vienna sausages. Vienna, whatever, however you want to say it. But we've got a little gift for you today, just to sort of, as a throwback to back when you were a kid. So as you leave today, we encourage you, stop by, grab you a crust drink, grab you a thing of cookies, and go talk about summers with your mom and dad and pop and grandmom and all those kind of stuff. If you understand me, say I do. Now, there was a process that was begun in 2008 that I was able to be a part of. Now, see, we're starting a brand new series called Stronger. Everybody say Stronger. We need to be stronger, and I'm not talking about getting into the gym, although if you look at me, you can tell I do not go to the gym very often, and I need to go a little bit more often than I do. Okay, everybody says, when are you going to get in shape, Pastor Aaron? I say, I am in a shape. I'm in round. It is a shape. All right? But, yes, bless me. But the thing is, we are going to be talking about getting stronger. We need to be stronger in our faith. And I just spit all over the place over right here. You're in a splash zone, I'm just going to tell you. But we need to be stronger in our faith. We need to be stronger in our worship. We need to be stronger in our prayer life. We need to be stronger in our relationship with God. We need to have a stronger foundation in who we are in Christ. Can somebody say amen? So I always do a summer sermon series, and this year my summer sermon series is Stronger. I believe that we are about to set forth in a new era at Calvary Temple. I believe that we are about to hit an area of our ministry and of our spiritual life where we need to be stronger. We need to be stronger. We need to be more active. We need to be at a place where when the enemy comes against us, where we can stand and watch the deliverance of the Lord. Where we can stand against the enemy that comes against us. Even as a country, I believe we are in a place right now where we need to be stronger in our faith. We need to be stronger in our belief in Christ. That's why I wanted to start this series. And today, I wanted to start this series with this message that I'm going to be giving to you today. And there was a process in 2008 that I was thankful to be a part of. And it was when we started building a brand new sanctuary building at Clanton First Assembly in Clanton, Alabama. Now, I went on staff there in 2008, January of 2008. And in January of 2008, we broke ground on a brand new sanctuary that was going to seat around 500 people. And we broke ground. As a matter of fact, I started to bring over. I've got a piece of asphalt where they took the blade and cut the parking lot next to my office door. My office door came out, and you went to a glass door, and right outside of there is where they were going to be building the sanctuary. And I went out there as they were cutting up that asphalt, and a piece of it broke off, and it broke off in its perfect shape, this triangle shape. So I've got it in my office as a memorabilia to remind me of the day that we broke ground on that. They began by cutting and breaking up the parking lot right outside of my office door. Every day, my pastor, Randy Reed, who is at his church right now preaching, he would stand at that door that led out to where our new sanctuary was going to be. He was so distracted and so he wanted to see what was going on. So what he would do is he would stand at that door. Imagine the door is right here, okay? I know it's taller than that, but I'm short, okay? But the door is right here, and he would stand there with his hands in his pocket. He had specific shoes that he had in his office that he would wear to go walk the grounds because he didn't want to wear his good shoes where they were breaking ground and excavating and digging the holes. And he would get out there and he would walk around and he was so excited about everything. But after a little while, we got a little discouraged. Something strange happened during the first 4 months of that building. Not one wall went up. Not one brick was laid. The only thing that we saw happening was bulldozers and backhoes and machinery coming in and digging out holes for 4 months. Guys, listen, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, man, I'm on board with something good. We're going to be starting to build this church and it's going to grow and we're going to see the building go up and all. And 4 months later, I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, how deep are we going to dig? How far down have we got to go? And I went out and I looked at one point and I'm talking about, we're talking about 12, 15 feet deep in some areas. It was rough. They had to haul off dirt. Dirt was getting inside of our building and getting everywhere. It looked like we were just stuck where we were. But it was explained to me that this was being built as a seismic structure. Now, a seismic structure, what it meant was that it was supposed to be able to withstand tornadoes. It was supposed to be able to withstand earthquakes. Number one, I'm sitting there thinking, earthquakes in Alabama? Okay. But it was supposed to be a seismic building. In other words, it was supposed to be constructed in a way that it would have no problem in surviving minor shaking due to earthquakes. And in the event of a major earthquake, it would not collapse in on itself, and it would be able to avoid serious damage. In order to have that kind of stability, it was explained to me, in order to have that kind of stability in that building, the construction company had to do more than just come in and throw up walls on the property. They had to come in and they had to dig down. They had to dig deep. In order to have that kind of stability, they had to dig deep. Ground had to be prepped. The mix of the concrete had to be just right. The weather conditions had to cooperate. And most of all, they had to dig. Without digging past the topsoil and past the soft Alabama clay. Anybody ever dug through that Alabama clay? And then you end up getting it all over your clothes, and next thing you know, you got to go buy new clothes because it's all stained up and messed up. There's even people right now that they will take that Alabama clay, they design shirts, and they will put it in that clay inside of a thing with water and put shirts in there and dye it with Alabama red clay and then sell it for like $25. Listen, if you want to buy one of those shirts, come and see me. I'll go buy some t-shirts, and I will dye you as a red shirt from Alabama, okay? But you have to dig past that soft Alabama clay and get down to where the soil would not shift, it wouldn't move under the weight of such a massive building, and it would have never survived the major storms and earthquakes if they had not done that. For 4 months, we didn't see much progress. It was so frustrating to watch, but it was a necessary part of the process. Turn to somebody next to you and say, it's necessary. It's a necessary part of the process. Jesus took time at the end of his first, most probably well-quoted sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke chapter 6, he took the time at the end of his sermon on that mount and shared a short parable that encouraged the disciples and those listening to make sure that they had started from the ground up in their relationship with God. And that's why I'm talking about this today. That's the reason why I'm talking about from the ground up. He has given instructions through Luke chapter 6 throughout Luke chapter 6 about everything that they're supposed to do. He's talked about love your enemy. He said give without expecting anything in return. Don't judge and condemn people because of their actions or their lives, but take a look at their fruit and make sure that their fruit lines up. He said he makes sure that they know that the cup that they measure out to other people is going to be the same cup they will be measured by when it comes to the time when they are measured themselves. See, one of the phrases that everybody loves the most in this world, don't judge me, you can't judge me, God is the only one that can judge me. Well, that's true. But at the same time, we need to pay attention to the fruit that comes out of somebody's life. I don't judge somebody. But if I look at a tree and it's got apples on it, I'm going to look at it and say, that's an apple tree. Why? Because of the fruit. I can judge what it is by the fruit that's on the tree. If I see somebody that is struggling with sin and arguing and is mean and not serving God, I can look at them and say, I know you say you're a Christian, but that's an apple tree. That's not good fruit. That's not judging. That is observing people's fruit. And he said, do not condemn people. I know this is a little bit off my notes here, but he said, do not condemn people. Condemning is passing judgment and declaring a sentence over somebody. I will never pronounce a sentence over anyone because you know what? God has the right to pronounce a sentence. I don't decide when people are beyond his reach. I don't decide when people are beyond his hand. But he's gone through all of that, and he's sitting. That was for free, by the way. He talked about the fruit of our action is always going to reveal the true nature of the tree and of who we are. Jesus looks around at where they're sitting and begins a short life lesson or a parable, a story that he knew the people would understand because of their surroundings. See, he was telling this story as he was sitting down on top of a mountain. He was in the desert. There was sand everywhere. There was maybe a little bit of grass here, a little bit of grass there, some bushes here and there. But it was soft ground. And the people knew that if they had built houses on top of that soft ground, when the storms came and the winds raged and the rains came down, then something would happen to their house. Their house would fall. So Jesus goes on to share with them the secret to withstanding the storms of life and the struggles that we face. In Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, it says this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you?" I could stop right there and we could have an altar call. Because we have a lot of people that are sitting in churches all across the nation today and all across the world who say, Lord, Lord, you're my God, you're my King. They're singing songs about how great of a God he is. They're singing songs about how his name is powerful. Yet they do not do what he asked them to do. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like." In other words, I'm going to show you what it looks like when you actually do what I tell you to do. When you actually follow through on your commitments to what I've asked you to do. I will show you what he is like. In verse 48, it says, "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke against the house and could not shake it, because it had been well built." Everybody say well built. But verse 49, "But the one who hears and does not do them," his words is what he's talking about. "The one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Let's pray. Father God, teach us how to have a sure foundation today. Teach us how to build upon the rock of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. From the ground up. Again, when we were building that sanctuary, we had to start actually beneath the ground. We had to dig out the foundation. We had to dig all that. They had to pour the concrete. And they had to lay down the piping and all the plumbing down inside of that concrete foundation. I'm going to be honest with you. My grandmother had a house like this. It was a house where it was not built on a concrete foundation. It was one on blocks or stilts where you had to, and it had a underpinning that you had to go up underneath it, and you had to go take care of stuff. I hated that because I was the smallest one in my family. And when something needed to be fixed underneath the house, who did my dad call to go to my grandmother's house? It was me. And I hate spiders, y'all. And underneath the house, there's a lot of spiders. Y'all know there's a lot of spiders down there. Listen, that's just ungodly. I think that's where my fear of spiders came from. And I blame my parents to this. No, I don't. But we poured that foundation. We got to start from the ground up. Listen to me. Jesus shares with us and the disciples the key to not only being true disciples, but to building lives with the that will stand strong in times of trouble. And it's three simple things. Come to me, hear my words, and do them. Come to me, hear my words, and do them. It's that simple, y'all. It is that simple as far as following him and doing what he says. See, strength begins with coming to Jesus. Now, a lot of people will look at you and say, "Well, when you lean on Jesus, you're leaning on a crutch. You're using your religion as a crutch, Pastor Aaron, because you don't believe in that you need to take care of things yourself. You got to have somebody always take care of it for you. So you created this Jesus in your life, and yeah, I lean on Jesus. He's not my crutch. He's my stretcher because I can't walk without him. I can't do anything without him. He is my strength. He is my confidant. He is my strong tower. I love that song. It's an old song. He is my shield. You are my shield, my strength, my portion, deliverer, my shelter, my strong tower, my very present help in time of need. I love that song because when we come to Jesus, that's where our strength comes from. As I grew up, there was no one stronger than my dad. Anybody feel that way about your dad when you were growing up? There was nobody stronger than your dad. My dad, he would come up, he worked with U.S. Steel, and he was a switchman on the railroad. So he carried a big box on his chest that controlled the switches on making sure that the trains went the right way. He had strong arms. He would work in the fields with his dad, his mom, and they had a big old garden or a farm that they would take care of. And he would get out there and he would work and he would work and he would work. I remember there was so many times where I would go in and my dad, and there were plenty of times we sat around the kitchen at the table playing games, whether it was card games or last night, we sat around our table playing board games. And I remember looking at my dad every single time we sat down, "Let's arm wrestle, Dad." You know, that was the dumbest thing I ever did. I'm sitting there as a kid, and I'm like, "Let's arm wrestle, Dad." My dad takes his arm. My dad's arm wasn't huge, but he would put it up there, and he would grab that hand. My dad, number one, he didn't fight fair. His hands, I'm telling you, that man's hands were like a vice grip. And he would grab a hold of my hand, and he would start squeezing to the point to where I couldn't pay attention to where I was trying to pull his arm because I thought my hand was going to be in 15 pieces by the time he got done. He would take my wrists, mine and my brother's both, and he had big hands. My dad had big hands. And he would stretch his fingers around my wrist and on that bone right there. I don't know what it's called. My son can tell you. He's doing the whole medical field thing. But he would take his fingers and wrap it around, and he would pop that bone back and forth underneath the skin of my wrist. And I'm sitting there going, "Oh, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And my mom's sitting there slapping him on the back. "Stop it, Charles, stop it." "Oh, I ain't hurting him. He's fine." But I'd walk away. There'd be bruises. Please don't call DHR, okay? But he was just playing with me. And we would fight back and forth. My dad was strong. One of the biggest things in our neighborhood. "My dad can beat up your dad." Anybody ever heard that before? "My daddy can beat up your daddy." We'd sit there and holler back and forth. My dad was a strong man. Now, he's older now, and I could probably take him if I could, if I wanted to. But he's older. But back then, there was nobody stronger than my dad. Arm wrestling, snapping my wrist back and forth, hanging from his arms. I think every kid's done this. Dad would sit there and he'd have his arms as strong as he could, hold them as tight as he could. And now the kids would grab a hold of the elbows right here and they would just take all the weight off and they'd see if Dad could hold them. My dad, he wouldn't just hold me like that. He'd say, "What are you doing?" He'd pull it up like that. "What are you doing?" My dad was strong, y'all. When he was around, I felt safe. I felt secure. I knew he wouldn't let anything harm me, and he was strong enough to take care of anything that came my way. When Jesus said, "Everyone who comes to me," when he said, "Everyone comes to me," he was saying, if you start your life with me and put your relationship with me first, then I will have something to work with, and I will be your strength. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." What Paul is saying to the Corinthian church is this: yes, we have come and we are helping you build a strong spiritual structure. We are teaching you things. We are helping you build the walls of the church and to build the walls of your faith. But your foundation must be on the fact that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. He paid the price for your sin. He paid the price for everything that you've been through. And he is the one that is going to give you the strength to do what you are supposed to do. If you're with me, say, "I am." Christ is the cornerstone of our lives. When I say cornerstone, we hear that word cornerstone a lot. That cornerstone is a foundation stone which the building is started. They would take that one stone and they would say, "Okay, here is the main brick, the main piece, the main foundation of where we're going to start. And we're going to build from it. But this is where the bulk of the weight, the bulk of the strength is going to come from. This is where we're going to start everything from." That is what that foundation stone was. The building was started there. It is the place where it all begins that bears the weight of the building as it is built. Ephesians 2:19-21 says, "So then, you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." Can I share something with you? If Jesus Christ isn't the first thing, person you go to and the first thing you think of when you make decisions in your life, then is he truly the foundation of everything that you believe? Are you with me today? Is this making any kind of sense? Good, because I spent a lot of time on it. The foundation of Christ must be found under every room in our house. The foundation of Christ must be found in every room of our house. From the kitchen to where... Imagine your life as a house itself. In a house, you've got a kitchen, you've got bedroom, you've got living room, you've got a laundry room, you've got all these other rooms, storage rooms, all these kind of things. In every part of your life, each one of those rooms will mean something. We need to have the foundation of Jesus Christ under the kitchen of our life. Because from the kitchen, where we understand He is our provider and takes care of our needs, all the way over to the family room and the living room or whatever you want to call it, where He supplies us with joy and love for one another, to our marriage bed where He joins us together as one. If your marriage is not built upon Jesus Christ, it will fail. If your family is not built upon Jesus Christ, you will have struggle. If your provision is not built upon Jesus Christ, if you try to build the fact that your job provides your money, your job provides what you need, your job provides all these things, then you are going to look at it and it will fail. Because humanity cannot be our foundation. We change too much. We have too many problems. I'm messed up. Listen, Pastor Aaron cannot be the foundation of the ministry of this church. I'm going to say that again. Pastor Aaron, me, right here, I cannot be the foundation of why you're here. I can't be the foundation of how we reach out. If you're here just because I'm here, then you're here for the wrong reasons, and I invite you to find some place where you can find Jesus Christ as your foundation. Don't put that kind of weight on me, because I will crush and I will fall apart. I can't be your foundation. Jesus Christ has to be the foundation of every house and every room that we have in our house. If you're with me, say, I am. If we do not go to Christ first and come to Him first, we are building our house on things that will falter and fail us. When we build on anything else, we run the risk of our lives falling apart. The only one that can bear the weight of our struggle is Jesus. 2,000 years ago, He bore the weight of our shame, and He cleaned us up. Today, He bears the weight of our battles, because the battle is not ours, but it's His. Today, He bears the weight of our provision, because it is from Him that everything is provided, and all things come from Him. All good things come from the Father above. Those things, all of those things, the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We are not supposed to look for a mate first. Some of us are sitting there wondering, why have I not found a husband yet? Why have I not found a wife yet? Why have I not found somebody to spend my time with yet? Because you're looking for the wrong thing. When you build your relationship on who Jesus Christ is, then He will provide the house on which that is built. He will provide the foundation for the relationship. Are you with me? I'm trying not to get too far off the page here, but He says, seek first the kingdom of God. He also says, come to Me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. You aren't supposed to carry the weight of your entire house on your shoulders. I want to speak to the men for just a minute. You are the spiritual leader of your household. You are the priest of your home. But you are not your wife and your kid's savior. Stop trying to think you have to fix it all. I wish I could plan my son and my daughter's lives out for them. I wish that I could fix everything. I wish that I could make sure that them serve God. I wish that I could make sure that they've got everything perfect. But the thing is, I can't be their salvation. I can't be their foundation. I've got to take them to Jesus. And I've got to help them build a relationship with Him that's going to withstand the test of time. I've got to spend time with them in a way that teaches them who Jesus Christ is. That He is the one that gives us strength. When we come to Jesus, we come to strength. We come to a place where we can be strong. But then Jesus looks and He says, and He adds something that we need. He then adds, we need to hear His word. We can come to Jesus, but then we've got to hear His word. Now, hearing is more than just sound waves going through the air. Right now, I'm speaking. And as I speak, those sound waves are reaching the follicles and the hair and the eardrum in your inside of your ears. Some of you, it's working a little bit better than others. Some of you have a little bit of help from external things. But that is not hearing. If you have kids, you know that there is a difference between hearing and comprehending. I can't tell you how many times I've told my kids, do this. Okay. And then next thing you know, it never get done. Anybody been through that? We'll just all have a support group meeting later on. There's a difference between hearing and understanding. You can carry on an entire conversation. Listen, wives, you can carry on an entire conversation with your husbands. And at the end of it, you know that they didn't understand a word of what you just said. Come on, somebody. Don't be pointing to them. But I'm one of those. Listen, I walked up to Bree just a few minutes ago. And I said, I didn't know you were going to be here today. She said, I told you yesterday while you were playing Fortnite. Oh, that explains it. You can sit there and carry on that entire conversation. You can talk about, Amy has been talking about this vacation she's wanting to take come in December, and she's telling me all about the food we're going to eat, the places we're going to go, and all that kind of stuff. And I look at her at the end of it, and I look at her at the end of the conversation. At one point, I think I looked at her and said, now, where are we going? And she has to go through the whole thing again. I heard every word, but I didn't comprehend it. I didn't understand it. The other day at my house, DJ and Amy were having a conversation about work or something like that. I don't even remember what the conversation was about. But then all of a sudden, I ask a question that they had just answered like 3 minutes before. And I said, weren't you, welcome to the conversation, genius. Are you not paying attention? Yes, I'm paying attention. What'd you say? I can stand in my yard. And I know I'm getting a little bit off here, but I can stand in my yard and have a conversation with my dog. Y'all laugh, I do. I have conversations with my dog all the time. But I can stand in my yard and I can have a conversation with my dog all day long. She will hear every word that I say. She might even react to what I say, especially if I say certain words like squirrel or treat or something like that. I will say some of those words and she will react. But the thing is, she will react to some of my actions, but it doesn't mean that she understands the words that are coming out of my mouth. I can stand there and have a conversation with her. Okay, Dottie. Now, Dottie, listen to me. Here's what I want you to know. Pay attention. Stop eating the rocks. Pay attention to me, okay? Listen, I want you to go into that storage shed. And inside that storage shed is a lawnmower. Get on the lawnmower and bring it out. The dog is not going to understand that. She heard every word, but she's not going to understand that. There are times where we sit inside of the church service and we sit inside and we hear the Word of God or we read the Word of God, but the thing is, we may hear it, but we don't hear it. We don't comprehend it because we don't put it into practice. Jesus See, just hearing someone tell you how to become stronger in your walk with Christ will never change you. If you're walking into this room to punch a clock and to go through the service and to walk back out thinking that you've done something for Jesus, I pray a blessing over you, and I pray that He gets a hold of your life in such a way that He turns it upside down to where you have to rely on Him for your strength. And you have to pay attention to what He says and actually carry it out. There are people that have sat under good teaching for years and have heard how to grow and how to grow the church and how to grow the kingdom and to become a true disciple, but they still don't understand. There's more to hearing His words than just committing them to memory. There are many people that can quote Scripture left and right. They can tell Scripture left and right. Many people can quote Scripture better than I can, but they have no meaning and no purpose and no power behind it because they don't live it out in their own life and they don't apply it to their own heart. There's more to hearing His words than committing them to memory. We are called to understand His words and why He is speaking those words to us. Since we arrived 3 years ago, we've said one thing over and over and over in this church. It's three simple phrases. Love God, love people, make disciples. And every single person that's been around us for 15 minutes probably knows that phrase. Love God, love people, make disciples. We love God by obeying God. We obey God by loving people. We love people by serving people. And if we serve people, then we're going to make disciples. That's what everything, every ministry at this church is built on. And there are people that are sitting in here. You can quote it. We have simplified it to that message down of Christ. We've simplified it down to those three phrases. Many people can quote it back to us. And when people ask, what does your church believe? You may be able to say to them, we believe in loving God, loving people, and making disciples. But the thing is, you might know that the first two are, you might not even know that, or you might know that the first two are based on Jesus' answer to a man that asked a question in Matthew 22 where it says, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments depend all the law of the prophets. Then the last one that we talk about, love God, love people, make disciples. Make disciples is based off of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Where it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. The thing is, we can quote it. We may even know where it comes from. But do we actually understand it? Understanding it is more important than hearing it. Are you with me? There's a difference between hearing purpose and understanding and walking in purpose. You hear purpose every Sunday walking through these doors. But do you walk in purpose as you walk outside of them? Understanding will always bring us to Jesus' third requirement for a stronger foundation. And that third requirement is strength comes from doing and applying. Our obedience plays a part in our foundation. Our obedience plays a part in our foundation. Notice the similarities between the two houses that Jesus is talking about. These men that are building in our scripture, they're building a house. Notice the similarities. In verse 47, it says, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he's like. And then in Luke 6, 49, it also says, but the one who hears and does not do them is like the man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. Both men apparently came to Jesus. Both of them were standing there face to face with him. Both men heard his words. Both decided to build their house. But there's one crucial difference between the two. One of the men decided to dig deep. Verses 47 and 48 says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. His obedience to the word of God is in his life began to dig deep in the spiritual ground on which he was building. Our obedience is a shovel. Now, some of you may get a little confused right there. Let me say this. Our obedience is not our foundation. We are not saved just because we obey. Now, everybody's going, oh, you're messing with theology now. Yeah, I am. Our foundation is his sacrifice. Our foundation is his love and his grace. We don't obey so that he will love us. The love is already there. We obey because we love him. I want you to grasp this. This man went deep. Our obedience is not our foundation. Our foundation always has been and always will be the love of God of a God that sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. When we come to Jesus and seek to understand his words and commands and put them into action in our life, it turns our obedience into a shovel. Again, our obedience is not a foundation. It's a shovel that we dig deep down to the foundation stone, that cornerstone who is Jesus Christ. Our obedience is what helps clear debris out of our life that is in the way between us and God. It's through our obedience. Listen, it's with our obedience that we begin clearing the debris and the rocks and the sand out of our lives that would cause uneven builds and shaky walls in our lives. It is through our obedience to his word and walking in the purpose he has for our lives that we can dig into areas of our lives where we need to have a stronger connection with Christ. To have a stronger connection with Christ, we obey and dig down and get rid of bad habits in our lives. And we dig so deep until we hit rock bottom, until we hit the foundation that is Jesus. And he says, okay, now pour the concrete. Because once you reach me, you know I'm not going to change and I'm not going to move. I'm not going to shake, I'm not going to falter, and I'm not going to fail. Build on top of me. But you've got to get to me and you've got to get the junk out of the hole first. Dig deep into the foundation. When we do expose weaknesses in our life, that is when we fill those areas with Christ and start rebuilding. Our bad habits, our nasty mouth, the things that we watch on TV that we shouldn't, the things that we watch on the internet that we shouldn't, our bad attitudes, the way we treat people, treating people like dogs, but we come in here and we lift our hands and say how much we love Jesus. We will never build stronger lives in Christ without filling the voids that sin, selfishness, and fleshly desires leave in our foundation. Well, I'm going to leave that part alone. Listen, I know God wants my family to be built on top of him. I know that I've got to build my relationship with my family on top of Jesus. But you know what? I've got to make sure that I've got the right job. And this job is better for me, and it's got more money, and it's got more provision. So I'm going to make sure that I take that, and we don't ever include Jesus Christ in the conversation. So we're starting to leave a void underneath that job. We're never going to build a stronger life without filling those voids. The other man, The one who did not dig a foundation decided to build the easy way without digging down. He started just on the surface, on the topsoil. He said, it's too much work to dig that hole. It's too hard. Listen, I know I'm to get down to the solid foundation and to get down to solid rock or just down to solid ground, I'm going to have to dig 5, 10, 15 feet down. It's too hard. So I'm going to bypass that. I'm just going to dig maybe a few inches, and I'm going to remain shallow in my foundation, and I'll make sure that I build the wall strong. I'll make sure that I've got a good flooring down. See, that's the thing. If I don't dig down, if I don't spend all that money on the foundation, then I can have more bells and whistles in my house. I can have the best hardware in my kitchen. I can have the best TVs. I can have the best this. I can have the best that. But the thing is, if you don't dig deep on the foundation first, it's not going to matter what you have. It takes too long to spend time with God in prayer. It's too hard for me to sit down and read. I don't like reading, Pastor Aaron. It's too hard for me to spend time with God that way. Why can't I do something else? It's okay I don't need to have a real deep conversation with God. I just need to know He loves me and He cares for me. Wrong. Because what are you going to do when the world comes against you and the storms come and the winds blow? If you're not built on the foundation of who He is. This man said, it takes too much effort to lay the foundation. It'll take too long to build the life that I want if I do it the way Jesus wants me to. I will have to sacrifice too much, and it'll cost me more to go deeper. Yes, going deep with Jesus always costs us more, but the payoff is so much better. It's so much better. And if you took these two men's houses and placed them side by side, you probably couldn't tell the difference to begin with. Stand with me today. As you put those houses side by side, they both have kitchens. They both have bedrooms. They both have living rooms. They both have roofs, and they have good hardware. They've got the grass growing, and it all looks great. They both look the exact same. But where you can tell the difference between the two houses is when the floodwaters rise and the storms come. The house the life with the foundation that is built on Jesus Christ, it says in verse 48, and when the flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it has been well built. Listen to me, church. If we build our foundation on who Jesus Christ is and how important He is in our life, when we have a death in the family, when we have a diagnosis that comes against us, when we have a situation where our entire life is blown up, then we will sit there and look, but I have a foundation. The walls can fall apart, but if the foundation is good, you can rebuild. The difference between a foundation and no foundation. See, the house or the life without a foundation is described in verse 49 where it says, when the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. There is something everyone in this room has in common. Every person in this room has one thing in common. There is a 100% chance of floodwaters rising in your life today. Everyone has the same exact chance of struggles coming, temptations coming, problems in your home or in your family, problems in your marriage. Every one of us have the exact same chance of those floodwaters rising and trying to overtake us. The question is, when the floodwaters rise, where do you run to? when you have disappointment, setback, sickness, loss of a loved one, loss of a job, you get laid off or you get let down, financial hardship, mistreatment by other people, even Christians that look at you and treat you wrong, even though that they say that they serve God, even the temptations that come our way, where do you run to when they come against you? To have a life that withstands the struggles of this world, we have to start from the ground up.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.